And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Linda Moulton Howe with us, and we're going to take Conversations with Linda when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us. Linda, you are still traveling all over the planet, aren't you, these days?
Yeah. In fact, I'm getting ready to do Eureka Springs in April 10th to 12th, and looking forward to seeing a lot of people there. And I'm going to be concentrating on brand new material that has never been reported anywhere, in addition to some more insights with John Burroughs on RAF Bentwaters. And then you and I and Jim Mars and a bunch of us will be at Contact in the Desert.
That's coming up. Oh, my God.
May 29th to June 1st. And I'm going to be doing Bentwaters, the whole issue of the pole flip in an earth core change and what people are trying to investigate about what the ramifications might be if it did happen this century, and some panels on the UFO phenomena. And I think that's going to be really cool because it's going to be May instead of August, and the temperature should be great.
A little better. Boy, it was hot last year, wasn't it?
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. And you asked a very important question just before the break, about whether there would be anything like implosions or something like that.
Yeah.
Would be physical. And I said no. And I, during the break, I wanted to tell you, here is a statistic that in the last 83 million years, there have been 184 pole flips. 184 in the last 83 million years.
Now, how do they know this?
Through studying sedimentary rock and various, you know, it's just, it's our Earth is like having a archive of what has happened to it, and they can determine where there have been the magnetic pole changes layer by layer by layer in lake sediment and so forth. So we know that there have been many. And there is no evidence that in those 184 pole changes over the last 83 million years that there is any hard, in-your-face evidence of anything. There's nothing in the record about big die-offs each time or anything like that. What is unknown, but common sense would tell you it has to be a problem, would be that for the birds and the marine life that are so dependent upon magnetic fields, that there may be more beachings. One scientist I talked to said they're not sure, but birds literally could fall out of the sky in disorientation. But whatever it has happened so many times before, and it's not associated with extinction events or anything. But what is so fascinating is that people alive in this century could, for the first time in 786,000 years on this planet, experience the pole flip, and that it's way overdue.
It is way overdue. Linda, let's go to the calls. They're lining up here for you already. So we will go to Jack in Park Ridge, Illinois, to get things started here. Jack, you're on the air with us.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call.
Very welcome, Jack.
And I'd just like to tell you, Linda, it used to be several years ago, the Los Angeles Fire Department was on a frequency of 33.7 megahertz. And every time I heard the fire department here in the Chicago area, there was an earthquake in California.
Huh.
Now, I figured this out because I read in a magazine called Monitoring Times, which is a radio magazine, that when gases get released from the earth, that it affects radio waves. Just like you said, the animals get affected by the
magnetic field
by the earthquakes. You know, just before an earthquake, the animals get upset. Well, that's because when the gases get released from the earth, it affects radio waves, and I could hear the Los Angeles Fire Department on their old frequency. So I just want to pass that along. So in case you want to check that out, that's a good way of detecting earthquakes in California, especially Los Angeles.
Well, thank you. I've not heard that before. I do know also, though, that animals are reacting to infrasound in earthquakes. That's pretty well established. Elephants, especially, it is the infrasound, the same infrasound that we are talking about leaving the earth from low, coming up through the mantle, up to the ionosphere, and then bouncing back. And as it bounces back, shifting into an audible range to the human ear. But infrasound is playing a much bigger role in many ways in so many things like earthquakes.
Okay, let's go to the other calls. We go to Tim in Racine, Wisconsin. Tim, always a pleasure. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing tonight, George?
Good, Timmy. Good.
That's good to hear. I'm glad you guys are doing good. I got three quick things. First thing, this has nothing to do with, like, maybe they're digging tunnels or something. And two, if there's a pole flip, hey, I'll be happy as heck if we can get the warm weather up here and you can shove it down in Florida. And three would be, do you see, I'd like to know, what would there be any warnings before so I can, get all my summer clothes ready?
Well, I think that is what this is about. If, in fact, the corporate Mr. Smith's hypothesis joined up with the whistleblower from 2 years ago, if they are correct that there is a link between new core changes in the earth, the boom and the metallic sounds, and a coming pole flip, the booms, the trumpets, and the metallic scrapings are, you might say, Mother Nature's warning signs of what's coming.
You know, Linda, with all these possible explanations for these booms, I've heard that during the winter you hear a lot because of some cracking sounds of ice and stuff from within.
George, do you believe frostquakes?
No.
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 It's absolutely.
I think it's in the core.
No, and the thing that has been so funny to me, frostquake is now like the weather balloon of 47, swamp gas. Now frostquake is being used to explain and dismiss all booms. Impossible. Port Angeles did not have any freezing ice or anything when there were all these booms there at the end of February. The boom phenomena, when you look at the map that I have at Earth Files, it is just in the last 3 months, it's covering almost the entire United States again. And in other words, I started fresh with a January 1 map and was amazed that within 12 days, there were 12 reports. And when I am talking about the reports that I am documenting at Earth Files, they are where there have been hundreds of calls to 911, police, emergency management, television stations are covering it. That is the level at which these are affecting communities.
A magnetic pole shift, a flip. What does it do specifically to animals? Because birds use it as migration. What happens to all of that?
It's unknown. I've asked a lot of people in geophysics, and there are very few people who have worked on this, and we don't have records. In other words, something that happened 786,000 years ago, even though it's happened on the planet many times, that's the last time. And that is so long ago. We can have the records in the lake sediment in Italy and other places that show us when it happened, but we don't have any way of knowing exactly what happened to Earth life and marine life then. And so we are, in many ways, this is a real unknown. I personally don't think that there's anything to be afraid of. I hope everybody understands it. I am very curious about why or how, if we could confirm that the booms were related to earth core changes, magnetic field changes, and that it was heading toward a pole flip, I think it'd be fascinating for everybody to be involved with trying to report to local communities and scientists, and that we were a generation on a planet that everybody was in on what was happening. And the more we knew, the less afraid we were, but the more curious we would be about what was going to happen. I think that's the healthy way to live.
Okay, we go next to Jerry Lynn, Paris, California, west of the Rockies. You're on with Linda. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi, I'm calling about, I live in Paris, California right now, but we moved here and lived in Alamogordo, New Mexico, 4 miles from Holland Air Force Base. So we were very used to sonic booms and even the booms from missile testing, but occasionally there were big loud booms sounding like an explosion in town, which was only about 10 minutes from one end to the other, and nothing ever happened. Nobody ever reported it. There was never any news reports. And that also relates to the earlier call about UFOs. That became fairly common in Alamogordo. We used to just call them colored lights that would fly around and even land on the ground. In fact, we even looked it up one time on YouTube, and there was a video of what we were all seeing. What I found so odd, nobody ever talked about it.
Yeah.
I even asked a long-term resident, and he said he doesn't know why, but nobody ever talks.
Policies of denial.
Yep, all
people
the time.
People have been afraid since World War II, who had firsthand knowledge in the military about extraterrestrial biological entities interacting with this planet, our efforts to get their technology and back engineer it, and people have had to sign very strict non-disclosure agreements, and people have been threatened with prison and all kinds of things to keep this huge separation of knowledge from an elite group in the government from all the rest of us. And when people are afraid that they'll lose their job or their family won't have a pension or that their existence is threatened, they don't talk. And then that extends itself to a climate where people who know somebody who won't talk about UFOs because they might get hurt, then everybody stops talking, and pretty soon, two or three generations later, you're in a planet like today that is truly out of whack and concocted because the phenomena is real. The government knows it's real. The policies of lies and denial have been effective because counterintelligence is effective. And it doesn't mean that the lights and the craft and the technologies and the non-ionizing radiation that can harm somebody like John Burroughs, who was close to a craft, all of that's true. Saying it's not does not change the physical evidence or the facts. There are animal mutilations. Perpetrators are extraterrestrials, perhaps for their own survival reasons. But we are at a time where just governments have gotten away with taking the position that if they say something doesn't exist, it doesn't exist, and you better not talk about it. And I hope that what's beginning to happen is that people are freeing themselves in realizing that we are all going to lose whatever freedoms we still have left if we don't try to be honest and make the government representatives honest to us that we should all be in. If there is a poll flip coming and unknowns are out there about what will happen to marine life and birds, let's just say that those are the two most obviously affected groups of life, and that if the government has knowledge, they should share it with everybody. And the same thing on extraterrestrial biological entities and back engineering of extraterrestrial technology. I think everybody should know.
Linda, have you been following this latest plane crash episode? Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that poor pilot trying to get in the door knowing this plane is coming down?
And what popped into my head when it was clear this morning in the news conference of Lufthansa when they said, you know, that they were in shocked to their core,
yeah,
in disbelief. What hit me was, I hope this is, I can say this, it's that we are on a 7.2 billion human and counting surface population on Earth right now. And if only 1% of that 7.2 billion had mental problems.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Right? I tried to do some math this morning. I think it came out to something like it would be 217 million people on the planet at any one time who would be capable of their mind disintegrating and flying off.
And you know what? What percent are pilots? What percent are on mood-altering drugs? I mean, it's just a nightmare. This one is a nightmare of biblical proportions.
And nobody, as that poor Lufthansa person, this was the last thing that they ever thought would have happened in the disciplined world of Lufthansa Airlines.
They're fighting terrorism and hijacking, and this happens.
Yeah, it must be, I mean... What else can we conclude?
Unbelievable.
Some sort of mental deterioration.
Yep. Let's go to Mike in Ohio. Mike, you're up with us. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, but I was just wondering, do you have any reports over Evansville, Indiana?
There have been booms in the past, I know, in the Evansville area, and I have done evolutions of maps. They become so dense that I have to keep starting over. But so now I'm very familiar with areas where there have been repeated booms. And I know from southern Illinois and western Missouri down to Fort Knox and Louisville, Kentucky, up to Indiana, the Great Lakes, Wisconsin, that there's a whole band in there that it has constantly had repeated cycles of booms, the last four now going into the fifth year. And why they come, where they come, in my Earth Files reports tonight, I put up two where there was exact date, 2 years apart. And I believe it was March. I'm trying to get there right now, I'll tell you. And I've seen cycles where the same dates or the same week there seems to be this boom phenomenon. And I begin to think about in October, there will be booms in the Salem, Massachusetts, Providence, Rhode Island area. And why would that be? Why would there be cycles around sort of in the same times? Well, again, if we are dealing with something that's going on in the planet and the planet is a natural body and natural bodies seem to work in cycles, and this one that is in this is my part one, mysterious booms provoke the American businessman to investigate possible link to Earth's core. On March 15th...
Hold on, Linda. We're at the break, and we'll come back and let you finish that up. Well, I'll be at the Survival of Humanity event in the Los Angeles area this weekend. Full details under events right there at the top of our homepage if you want to come out and spend a couple of great days out there. We're going to come back in a moment with Linda Moulton Howe, of course, and do some more investigating of your questions with her. But now, here's a health moment from Pharmacist Ben, brought to you by CriticalHealthNews.com. Hey, welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us, and we're going to wrap up with final phone calls here with Linda. Linda, before we move on, you were talking,
about,
you want to finish that up?
Yeah, it is this issue of cycles in the booms, and at my part one mysterious booms report tonight, I have one of the media recently, March 19th, 2015, that's when they put up their headline, which says mysterious explosions like sounds put Jefferson Hills on edge. This is a suburb a little southeast of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the actual date of the booms there was March 15th, 2015. And below that, I have the news for Jacks in Jacksonville, Florida, reporting about a March 15th, 2012, and this is where five counties in Georgia were all shaken at the same time. Reports of loud booms, literally thousands of people at the same minutes were calling police and 911. But it's so interesting when I keep seeing over and over in the booms, March 15th, 2015, March 15th, 2012. And if you went through all the reports in the last, starting into the fifth year, you will find that they bunch up around certain dates.
All right, Linda, let's take the final calls. We've got the Edie, or is it Eddie, in New York. Hi there. I would say,
hi, George.
I would say it's Eddie, based on what I see.
Yes, it's Eddie.
Perfect.
And believe it or not, I live in New York City, and I'm listening to you on the greatest radio station on the planet.
WOR.
No.
What?
I am listening to you on AM 900 CHML Canada.
Oh, you're pulling the way up. Dave, don't forget, though, WOR is my huge station there.
Listen, they don't have an audio vault like CHML Canada, and they don't have the old-time radio shows before Coast to Coast like CHML.
Oh, all right, so you like those
shows. Okay.
But anyways, go ahead with
and
Linda.
Linda, I've been trying to get you for some time now and haven't been able to, and I'm so glad to get you. I first want to thank you for all the great work you've done over all these years on this, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And also, I wanted to a couple of things. I saw a report on BBC News, and this is regarding your sonic booms. I saw a report on BBC News about a particle collider in the northern part of the United States that they had, and it was somewhere between stretched from Chicago all the way out to Denver, I think. And they were colliding sun particles from the sun. And I don't know if this could have any effect on these booms or be causing it. This I don't know.
That's
the first thing.
Are you talking about a study of neutrinos?
Yes, something like that. They were doing some, but they were colliding them. And as a matter of fact, I was trying to get you, since I've heard that report, and I've been trying. This is the first time I've actually been able to get you. And also, another thing I wanted you to tell you was that...
Let me just do a quick footnote. Timelines are always critical. Depending upon the run of any of the particle bombardment or analysis, they only go in short bursts usually, and we're talking about a phenomena that's starting into its fifth year.
Mm. Well, anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the sun. On television, I saw videos of extraterrestrial spacecraft hanging around the sun right next to it.
They were probably digital dropouts. There are so many digital dropouts, and I think that's what they really legitimately are. And
They look like objects, but they're not.
No, I think they are digital dropouts, and it's become sort of a web mythology about all of these UFO craft around the sun, when in fact it's just one of the artifacts of the digital age.
Sure is. Chris is in Washington State of. Go ahead, Chris. You're up with us.
Hi, George. Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, thank you, Chris. Good to have you with us.
And thank you. And I really appreciate what you do. And Linda, I appreciate everything you do. And I'm reading a lot of your books from the library now.
Well, thank you very, very much.
I have a quick question, and I'll take my answer off the air, please.
Okay.
Could some of these booms and some of these quakes be from underground government buildings?
It has been talked about. Could there be underground construction? Could the government be at war with extraterrestrials? Could there be something that is constantly going on underground? Given the length of time, we're starting into the fifth year, and the boom and metallic scraping and trumpet sounds, even though the booms are more frequent than the others are still reported. We're going into the fifth year. That is a very long time. And when you do look at the distribution of where they are happening, it is so widespread, and it isn't confined just to North America. It has been in places in England and Europe and Australia and New Zealand. Therefore, it seems to me that it's just Occam's razor. It's common sense. Something is happening that the Earth core makes more sense to me than trying to force the idea of underground construction when I don't think that matches up anymore, because the phenomena is too big, too widespread, and so persistent. And so right now, even though nobody has proof, I'm just trying to learn as much as I can about the Earth core link and hope that there might be some more whistleblowers out there listening tonight who might actually have substantive information and could help guide me with anything that they might know. And thank you for listening.
Linda, back to crop formations for a moment. This seems to be a slower year. Is that a pretty perceptive point here, or is it still ongoing?
Crop formations?
Yes. Yeah, crop formations. They don't seem to be as many as the last few years.
Well, we won't have crops up anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere until April. And in England, for example, depending upon what the weather is like, some of the springs recently in the last two or three years have just been horrible, and the crops have been delayed. I don't know what will happen this year, but you don't have crop formations without the crops.
No, you got to have that. What about the winter wheat, though? Those aren't being affected, nothing?
In Canada, they have been in the past to a certain extent, but I would say that the Northern Hemisphere crop formations going back to the 70s in Warminster in England, that they have always been in what we would call the spring and summer months up to harvest. And the question about, in my mind, if you go back to the late 80s up to about 93, 4, 5, that was the period of innocence, of spectacular crop formations, seven layers deep, of the most mind-blowing, because I was there. And they were not made by people at all. Then, whether it was counterintelligence between the UK and the US or whoever was responsible, as soon as a group of people in London organized crop circle making contests, it was as if it were calculated counterintelligence to deflect public and media attention from a phenomena that was real and extraordinary and they could not control. And once you start having crop circle making contests, you muddy the waters to such an extent that the public and the media begin to say, oh, they're all man-made. And so the question that you're asking about, are there fewer, in terms of the numbers of patterns that fall in or have fallen into that really extraordinary category of the early years, I would say there are less of them, but they certainly haven't gone away. And for people who have followed the crop formations since the end of the 70s into the 80s, being 89 probably being the really heavy modern start into the 90s, they would know that the patterns this past year of 2014 that were in Italy, that were in other countries outside of England, were some of them were as extraordinary as anything that has ever been laid down in crops. So the canvas seems to be widening, George. If you look just at southern England, it might seem like that it's gotten less, but not in other countries.
Okay, Linda, let's take one or two more calls. We go to Duncan in Thornton, Colorado. Duncan, you're up with us.
Good morning, George. Linda. I wanted to point out that I'm hearing a lot here about sounds in the atmosphere over land, but we have a planet that is mostly water, and we have a whole lot of recorded underwater noises that are unexplained, my favorite example being the Great Bloop.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And I can't help but wonder, perhaps, if this isn't a similar, the same phenomenon.
Well, that is a very interesting question. Clearly, ears of humans and of animals are only going to be on the land portions where people live. So that's why this concentration of the boom phenomena, ear witnesses and eyewitnesses to the flashes of light in some of the cases, are on land. But out at sea, probably there are Navy vessels and military vessels that have had experiences with some of this, and unfortunately, so many things in the military, they're just completely squashed. You don't hear about them. So you've raised a very interesting question about the bloop and maybe three or four other very strange sounds that have been recorded, and you can find them on the net, and maybe they do. Maybe that's the explanation, that it would fit into this category of Earth core. Also, the Seneca guns, I've been reading a great deal about them. They are historic, going back into the late 17 and 1800s, and they were largely North Carolina and up in that area. Well, it's possible that all of the reported Seneca guns, booms, and the whatever culture has had a name, if it is Earth core changes that go through cycles, it could explain why there have been historic previous boom periods that have been written in diaries, and that may begin to fit under Earth core changes.
Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Julie, let's get you in here before the clock does. Go ahead, Julie.
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
You'll have to excuse me. I got a bit of a cold.
That's all right.
In reference to animals hearing infrared sound or sound before earthquakes, I started hearing tones about 7 years ago, and it took me a year to figure out what I was hearing.
What were you hearing?
When there is going to be a substantial earthquake, I mean as reported on the news,
mm-hmm.
I hear it as a certain tone. And sometimes if the earthquake is going to be significant enough, my whole side of my face will vibrate and hurt.
You know, you're not alone with that, Julie. There are some other people who are very sensitive to earthquakes. They specifically pick up deep sounds.
And you know, that does fit into this issue of infrasound, and it might suggest that some humans have some genetic makeup where they are sensitive to infrasound while the rest of us don't hear anything.
They're earthquake detectors.
Mm-hmm.
Human earth. Linda, we're almost out of time. Good luck on your travels.
Thank you.
Keep in touch with us. We'll talk to you again the end of April. Can you believe how fast this year is going?
They all seem to be speeding up.
Slow it down, Linda. Can you?
I wish I could.
You've got contacts. All right. Thanks, Linda.
We need to stop time for a while.
You got that right. Be well. Now, Richard Serrett filling in for me tomorrow while I go off to Survival of Humanity, David Saeed Farman's event. And we should have a great time out there. So those of you in the greater area, just go to events at coasttocoastam.com. At the top of the homepage, click it. Come on out and see my presentation, if you would. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.